This the Lenten series going up, and this is the third message in that series called Move Up. If you had told me a week ago that we would be doing this and running around and trying to get things straight and having things different than they were before, which makes it difficult for me to remember what comes next, so we'll do our best. But if you had told me this was going to happen a week ago, I would have said, oh, come on, you're kidding. But here we are, and we have to deal with it because life goes on. Now, while life goes on, life does not always go up. But we will go up, as the series talks about. We will rise if we follow Christ. Because Lent is more than sorrow. Lent is also godly purpose. And we don't see that anywhere more clearly than in the Gospel of Luke, which is where we are today. Not the passage that we're actually going to focus on today, but before that, in chapter 9, verse 51, it says, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He is resolutely setting out, meaning he is getting ready to go to his death. So, Lent is sorrow, but Lent is also purpose. We're trying to go somewhere. We travel in order to go on and on and on. So we don't just go up, we go on. Let's follow Christ now as he continues to go on in his journey. And we're going to go to Luke 14. If you have the Pew Bibles, it's page 739. If you're listening in, then it's Luke 14 in your Bibles, wherever that would be. We find Jesus discussing table manners, which is kind of unusual because it's not really what's considered maybe the most spiritual subjects. I know it's not a real favorite subject of mine, and that's been true ever since I was small. Used to go to my grandmother's house, and she used to lecture me on Emily Post. Emily Post was one of the great rulers of the way you should eat and the way you should conduct yourself, and I didn't care for any of that, and always annoyed my grandmother as a result of it. So we have this idea of table manners, and Jesus seems to be talking about that. He says, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. For a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. And that's where move up comes in. Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. Now, up to that point, it sounds like he's giving etiquette advice, as though he were Emily Post. But the last verse changes things a bit. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, it says, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is a general principle that appears elsewhere in the Bible. In Matthew 23, in the midst of Jesus' condemnation of the Pharisees, he quotes this verse, Matthew 23, verse 12. In Luke chapter 18, in telling the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, and how the Pharisee came in and said all sorts of noble and pious things, but the tax collector just said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. It also says that he who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So we see this passage several times, and, you know, folks, when we see a passage several times, that usually means that God's trying to make a point. And we need to pay attention to what that point is. So I think we're dealing with something a little bit more than just etiquette. Jesus had more in his mind than seating arrangements. He's looking more at how we conduct our lives. And he's watching a selection process to attain a position of honor. And in response to what he sees, he tells a parable. It's a parable set at a table, but it has to do with all of our lives. And really, that's not unusual because the Bible talks a great deal about tables, a great deal about meals, a great deal about eating. There's all sorts of places where that occurs. So I won't get into that right now because of time constraints, but we'll just encourage you to look that up and see things like the Last Supper, to see things like Mary and Martha fixing dinner and Jesus talking to them about what the better way to conduct yourself is. Talks about the miracle of the loaves and fishes. Talks about all the way back to Eden, where the original sin was to eat a fruit. And the selfishness behind that, the disregard for God's ways. Then there's the manna from heaven that God gave to the Israelites in the wilderness. And finally, among the very big things, there's the whole idea of communion. Not just the Last Supper, but the commemoration of the Last Supper that we are supposed to continue to this day. So there's a lot of talking in the Bible about eating and food because it is common to all of us and because it can teach us some very important lessons. And Jesus often used things that were common and ordinary to teach extraordinary lessons. The words to live by are, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." This didn't fit with what Jesus was looking at when he went to this meal at the house, it says, of a prominent Pharisee. Notice he's a prominent Pharisee. In other words, he's one who has status. He's one who has power. He's one who has influence. He's one who's known. When he throws a party, people come because they want it to be known that they went to his party, that they were important enough to be invited. And in those days, people sat, actually they didn't sit per se, they actually reclined on their left elbows and ate the food at the table. They were on cushions, and the cushions were in the shape of a U. And at the very base of the U, in the middle, was where the host would sit, or the most important person, if that not the host. And then on either side of that most important person would be the next important person, and the next most important person, and the next most important person, going on up to you. So that's what we had here. And Jesus is watching these people jockey for positions. It's as though they're playing musical chairs, except they're doing it on couches. And they just don't want to be the one that's still standing when everybody has their seat. Or another way to look at it would be, if you've been watching the news, you know there's been an awful lot of people talking in microphones, both Republicans and Democrats. And whenever you have that kind of crowd, you can see people shifting around trying to get in place so that you can see them. They may be behind the main speaker, but they try to arrange themselves into a position where they're close enough that they can be on camera. Because if they're on camera, then you know they're important. And you know that they're significant, and what they're doing matters. And so you should pay attention to them. So we have that going on here. But Jesus says there's a danger in verse 9 to doing things this way. In other words, if you take the place of honor, there's a problem. The problem is someone who is more worthy of the place of honor than you may have been invited and may show up. But since he's so important, may show up late, and that causes an issue because now you're sitting in his seat. So the host, not wanting to offend the most important person, will have you sit elsewhere. And since all the other seats are taken, you would end up sitting at the very bottom of the table. As Jesus puts it, then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. So there you took all that, made all that effort and took all that time to jockey for position, to get into camera view, to get to musical chairs so that you had the right chair. And then you find yourself at the very bottom. Instead of honor, you find humiliation. This is a reversal of fortune. And to that problem, Jesus suggests a remarkable solution, a reversal of the reversal. And then he ties it to his general principle that we've already discussed. Jesus' solution is very simple. He says, move up by moving down. In other words, show humility. If you want to move up, move down. And as soon as I say the word humility, I know there's going to be some part of you that's saying, oh no, not again. Another message on humility. Like I haven't heard 150 messages on humility. I think I don't need 151st. And there's got to be some part of you that's thinking that because it occurs so often in the Bible. I wonder why that would be. Maybe it's because we're kind of blockheaded and we're not very good at learning this lesson. So Jesus keeps repeating it and the Bible keeps saying it. Paul says in his letters, put others first. Move up by moving down. This fits in with the Lenten season because during Lent, as he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, Jesus humbled himself. We put him on the cross of our sins. But he came to the cross because he was humble. He put himself in the position to be mocked and humiliated. The cross was not simply an instrument of death. It was an instrument of shame. It was a way to die that was considered awful, not only because it was extremely painful, but because it was humiliating. Only the worst of the worst died that way. But Jesus went to the cross. He moved up by moving down. So if Jesus humbled himself and we say we are his disciples and we're going to follow him, then do you follow him here? You know, he really didn't have to go to the cross. We needed him to go. He didn't have to go. It wasn't something that was necessary for his spiritual growth. It wasn't necessary for his salvation. It wasn't necessary to improve his relationship with God or to establish his relationship with God. He did it because he was looking out for others rather than himself, just as Paul said in his letter to the Philippians. He was looking out for us. And that is humility. C.S. Lewis defines humility as not so much thinking poorly of yourself, but about thinking less of yourself. In other words, not thinking so much about yourself. And I think that makes a really, really good point because a lot of times, whether we are thinking we are terrible or we are thinking we are terrific, we're still starting the sentences the same way and we're still focusing on the same person, ourselves. Humility does not do that. Humility looks at others. It moves up by moving down. This is counterintuitive, of course. This is not something we would expect, but then the Bible often does things we don't expect. Often does things that would seem counterintuitive and counterproductive, only to discover when we do it that we've been flying the plane of our lives upside down our entire lives and thinking that if we try very hard to go up, we'll get where we want to go. Except if the plane is flying upside down and we try very hard to go up, all we will do is crash. So Jesus is telling us there's a different way, there's a better way, but it's the reverse of what you think. Don't take the highest place. Take instead the lowest place. That's what he says. Verse 10, but when you are invited, take the lowest place. Move up by moving down. If you want a biblical example of this, go to the book of Esther. Look at Haman, Esther's enemy, Mordecai's enemy, who even built a gallows, a place to be hung, so that he could hang Mordecai from those gallows But as it turned out, in a great reversal of fortune, Haman himself was the one who was hung. Haman himself was the one who paid the price. The Bible is full of such stories. What we intend is not what God intends. If we're going to follow him, we need to go where he's going. And if he's moving up by moving down, so do we. I mean, think about this. What did Jesus do? He was in heaven. He came to earth. What is that but moving down? And in doing so, he started a path that would leave him going back to heaven, to move back up to where he always had been. But in doing so, he made it possible for us to travel that same path with him, whereas before we could not. It is imperative that we get over ourselves, because given the slightest opportunity, we will think we're pretty cool. No sooner do I do something spiritually, I mean, I can't speak for you, but when I do something spiritually that's halfway decent, I suddenly think, I'm a pretty good guy. And as soon as I start thinking I'm a pretty good guy, that kind of defeats the whole thing. It's so easy to do. And we have to remember that in the last days, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. Because very shortly in Luke 14, Jesus starts talking about the great banquet at the end of all things and what will happen then. So this is set in the context not just of the present, but also of the future. Which position would you choose then? Those scrambling for the top, or those willing to go to the lowest place? Usually there's no big scramble to get to the lowest place, by the way. You know, like these days we're seeing people go to stores to get various sundry items, and you know, items that are pretty ordinary all of a sudden become extraordinarily valuable. And what we have here is the lowest place becoming the best place, the place to be. Jesus deserves the place of honor. Isn't it remarkable as you look at this story and you think about it that you have to really think about it to realize, oh, the way this should have been is the Pharisees should have invited Jesus to take the seat of honor. He was already there. No one needed to be moved out of the way. All he had to do was be invited by the host, and he would have sat down at the seat of honor, and everything would have been as it ought to be. Right here, in this situation, it wasn't the prominent Pharisee who should have had the seat of honor. It was the King of Kings. But the Pharisees were too blind. They thought that they were watching. In fact, they thought they were carefully watching. Chapter 14, verse 1. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. But not for who he was. He was being watched for who they were afraid he was going to be and what they were afraid he was going to do. And we shake our heads at them. We say, oh, poor Pharisees, you don't get it. You're really, you know, so wrong, so badly wrong. And while we're doing that, we forget to ask ourselves the question, is he always in the place of honor at our table? Is he always in front, which is the only place that he could possibly lead us? After all, if we were in front, do we really know where we're going to get where we want to go? But if he's in front, he does know, but he has to be in front in order to take us there. Look at it another way. Does Jesus have top billing in the story of your life? at the end of the movie, when they roll the credits, will it give Jesus top billing as Lord of your life? Because the Pharisees didn't see him as he was, they could not honor him as he was. They saw him just as a threat. They could not honor him as Savior and Messiah because their fear took over. And notice here that Jesus doesn't scramble for the place of honor, although he deserved it. He has to be invited. If he is not, he does not sit at that seat. But he also may not stay at the table. How do you handle the seating arrangements? Jesus tells us to take the heed, to take heed and listen to his advice. Instead of jockeying for position, Jesus wants us to take the lowest place. If that's true, why are we hurrying so much through our lives to get just a little bit in front of some person? Whether it's when we're driving down the road. Have you ever thought about that? You ever thought about why we so desperately try to get 5 seconds ahead of somebody? And we do. We take all kinds of risks. Often get in fender benders and worse. Just because we want to get like seconds in front of this particular person who is really nasty because they're in front of us. And they must be defeated at all costs. Our whole lives we spend in such a hurry. But as I said, snagging the lowest place at the table, you don't have to hurry. It's usually right there. It's waiting for you. Not hard to find. The point is, live out what you say you believe. If you really believe Jesus is Lord, treat him as such. If you think he should be in the place of honor and not you, put him there. Invite him. And stop living your life in such a way as though you think you're the one who can lead it best. Because until you realize that he's the one who can lead it best, you'll expend all this effort trying to get ahead of somebody else who's also expending effort trying to get to somebody else, who's also expending effort trying to get to somebody else, and nobody has the least clue where they're going. Not really. So take the lowest place. I was reminded of this a couple nights ago. I was talking with a fella who I had been on a walk to Emmaus with many years ago. And he reminded me of an embarrassing moment in my life that I told them at that Emmaus. It had to do with a baseball game. I don't remember what baseball game. It didn't matter because I acted the same way at all the baseball games back then. And my son loved to play baseball and was very good at it. So he was on the team and the umpire messed up. I know he messed up because I saw it and I thought he was wrong. And I decided that I was going to let him know. And I did. Loudly. We're talking about Babe Ruth League here. You know, we're not talking about the Phillies. We're talking about Babe Ruth League. Everybody could hear me. My wife was embarrassed beyond her ability to describe it to you. And what I said at the Emmaus was, at that moment, I was acting like a witless witness. And that was the phrase that stuck with the fellow that I was talking to this past week. He said, you know, that phrase really, really meant a lot to me because it showed me Christ. And you know, I mean, to a certain extent, it was humbling. But it was also true. We all have things about us that are humbling, but also true. And you know, he was thanking me for that, and I was thinking, I really need to be careful here and not get too excited that that had a good effect on him, or I won't be being humble anymore. I'll be back to being a witless witness again. At this point in my life, I don't jump up and let the umpire know everything that's going on as soon as I can, but I do still need to grow in this area. You probably do too. But that's your dealing with Christ. All I know is, according to what Jesus says here, if you do this, your host will reward your grace. The host will come to you and say, friend, move up to a better place. Humility leads to generosity instead of grabbing. And generosity is rooted in grace. Generosity is a broadness of spirit which says, you know, I could be wrong. And the other person could be right. And I need to not be so sure that I'm right all the time that I'm willing to disregard what other people say to me. There's a story that C.S. Lewis tells, and he talks about going to church. And, of course, now that I'm looking for it, I'm finding it hard to locate. I may have found it. The question is attendance at a place of worship a good thing? And he says, well, yes, it is. But what he says that I really respond to was, he was talking about the hymns at the church he went to and how he didn't like the hymns. He called them sixth rate. But then he said, nevertheless, they were being sung with devotion and benefit by an old saint in elastic side boots in the opposite pew. And when you see that, you realize you aren't fit to clean those boots. It gets you out of your solitary conceit. I've always remembered that. How blessed we are to have a gracious God. A host who delights in our generosity. A host who will reverse our position. Move up, he invites us. Move up to a better place. Because our Father is the best of hosts. As Jennifer Rothschild says, going through Psalm 23, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. She says, what an amazing thing it is that the King of all kings serves you at the table. He is the one who prepares the table. He is the one who prepares us. And if it takes a while for us to move up, we're still okay, right? I mean, we're where Jesus is, in the lowest place. So we're still fine. So, eat up. You ready to celebrate the feast? You can do that no matter where you sit, because you won't stay seated at the feast. You'll get up and start celebrating. And then it doesn't really matter what your seat is, does it? You can move up by moving down, following his lead. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to think about these things. We have thought about them before, but Father, teach us once again how important it is to be humble, to simply not think so much about ourselves, but to direct our attention to you and to others. As your Son said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. And I says, love your neighbor as yourself, but that means we already love ourselves more than we should. May we learn how to love others and put them first. May we learn how to not be witless witnesses. May we stop hurrying for the highest place, but instead take the lowest place until the host says to us, "Friend, move up. It's time." In your name we pray. Amen.